It's great to be here. It's great to see all of you. If you're visiting with us, welcome. I'm so glad that you're here. We've been studying out this month about finding your voice. But before I start, I want to make an announcement. On November the 5th, there's a brother coming from Colorado to do a grief workshop for us. It's going to be at the Harvest Community Church in Lilburn from 10 o'clock to 12 p.m., 10 in the morning to 12. I really want to encourage all of you to come. It's going to be great. It's going to help us how to help ourselves as far as grieving and mourning for losses and to help other people who are going through situations like that. And so I would encourage us to come. That's November the 5th at 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock at Harvest Community. This month we've been searching and talking and speaking and hearing Steve and so many other brothers talked about finding our voice. You know, there are so many voices out there vying for our attention, right? We get it from the news. We watch the news. We're talking about the elections and talking about so many things that's vying for our attention. We get it through Facebook. You know, I have this notification on my phone, and it goes all the time, all day. I'm like, man, I need to turn this thing off. We hear from our friends. We hear from our family. You know, sometimes we hear our own voice. And so we're trying to figure out, which voice is it that I need to hear? You know, today we're going to talk about walk with God to find your voice. And remembering and listening to Him in your search for your voice, for your talent that God has given you, so that you can use to advance His kingdom, to bring Him glory. Now, how do we walk with God to hear the true voice? What is the talent that I have? What is my talent? And how can I use it to glorify God? How can I serve God and advance His kingdom? What must we remember to hear His voice? This morning, I want to talk about two things for us to remember and to think about, to pay close attention to as we walk with God, as we try to find our voice. My first point this morning is God plus one is a majority. Now, we'll read here in Judges chapter 3 here. Very simple. It says, after Ehud came Shamgar, son of Anath, who struck down 600 Philistines with an ox goad. He too saved Israel. See, God plus one is a majority. All you need is God. But you have to step out on faith. Now, I want you guys to show you this. This is an ox goad. Okay? This is what you take to kind of prod the ox to move. Because ox, they have so much power, they have so much energy, but they become lazy sometimes. And so you got to use this stick with the little point at the end and kind of jab him. You're not hurting him, but kind of pokes him, makes him uncomfortable, makes him move. And so this guy named Shamgar, this very short passage shows so much about his faith and his love for God. Now, as I was studying about this guy, you know, this guy, Shamgar, is not even an Israelite name. It's a Hurrian name. So he might not even be an Israelite. You know, I think sometimes we have a lot of excuses, but this guy should have the most excuse. You know, I don't have the right weapon. I'm going against 600 Philistines, and I have an ox goad. I don't have the right weapon. You know, nobody's with me. I'm the only one. I don't have an army with me. It didn't say he had an army with him. And then these are not even my people. Why do I care? These are not even my people. But it says here that he went out and struck down 600 Philistines. You know, if we look for excuses, we will find one. We are good with excuses. We are very creative in our excuses. If we look for excuses, we will find one. Do the best you can with what you have and where you are. This guy didn't have much. He had an ox goad. He might not have been an Israelite, but he went out and struck down 600 Philistines because he wanted to give God glory. Amen. He wanted to do something for God. The question is, what is your ox goad? Use your ox goad for God's purpose. Don't just make a living. Make a life. Make a mark. Make a difference. You don't need to change job. You don't need to change circumstances. You don't need to change kids and spouses. You need to change yourself. You know, in 1963, there was a study done by this guy named Edward Lorenz. And it's called the butterfly effect. And what he says is that, you know, if a butterfly flutters his wing in Brazil, that eventually that little fluttering will somehow make a tornado in Texas. Now, that's pretty wild, right? And his theory is that if you make very minuscule things, that it will cause a macro thing. Now, you think about a fluttering of a butterfly and a tornado. That is so extreme, right? You know, but I think for us, is we need to make that one decision, that one change, that one thought, that one risk, that it could change. It may be so little, but it would change so much in your life. What is that very little thing that you need to change to make a great impact? See, but you have to be 100% committed to this. You can't just go, when I want to, I need to go 100% at this change so that it would a potential to make 100% differences in somewhere else in your life. You know, what are you willing to change? What is holding you back? See, we know that we cannot continue down this path we are on because it's a dead end, spiritually, physically, and physically and emotionally. It may not kill us, but it will eat us alive. What is that one thing that's in your life that you think, if I can just change this little thing, it can make great changes later down the line? I believe that if you know God, you will know yourself. As you get to know God, you will get to know yourself. You know, Shamgar against 600 Philistines. You know, the enemy, Satan, he tries to discourage us by overwhelming us. Right? He's like, you know, look at the 600 people. Are you going to be able to fight this 600 Philistines who has sword and spear and shield? You know, but we need to counterpunch his theory in us by breaking it down to steps. Where, you know, sometimes we look at this overwhelming thing and we're like, I don't know if I can change that about me. It's so ingrained in me. I can't change that. I want to, but I can't. See, the enemy wants to overwhelm you so that you won't change, so that you think it's too much. You know, I think about my life, and I think about, you know, how am I going to be faithful to God for the rest of my life? I've been a disciple for 27 years. And, you know, it's not thinking, how am I going to be a disciple for the rest of my life? It's, I'm going to be a disciple today. And tomorrow, I'm going to be a disciple today. And I think we think long-term, and we're just overwhelmed. But if we make just little progress, and you look back, and you're like, wow, it's been 27 years. And so, you know, as Satan is throwing things at you, as he says, look at your life, you can't change this about you. Don't believe that. Make little progress, and you will see where God has taken you. You know, don't worry about the results. If you do the right thing for the right reason, God will take care of the results. God will take care of the results. You know, in Proverbs here, in chapter 24, 16, it says, the righteous may fall 7 times, but will still get up, but the wicked will stumble into trouble. It says we will fall. I don't know anybody here who hasn't fallen. We will fall. Get used to that. Get used to falling. You know, failure is not the enemy of success. It is his greatest ally. You know, we treat failure and success in opposite end. You know, but failure is a part of every success story. Think of it as the prologue, you know? Failure is a part of every success. You know, our lack of guts is a lack of faith. And instead of playing to win, we play not to lose. You know, you've seen those football games, and they got the lead, and they're afraid not to lose, and they play very tight, and they end up losing. Right? We are so much like that. We sometimes play so hard not to lose instead of playing to win. Get on the offense. You know, courage does not wait until situational factors turn in our favor. We can't wait to let things turn in our favor. We want to be joyful without sacrifice. We want to have character without suffering. We want success without failures. We want gain without pain. We want a testimony without going through the test. We want it all, but we don't want to give it all. You know, we're more afraid to lose than to gain. You see, I believe in the kingdom of God, calling trumps credential every time. See, God doesn't always call the qualified. He always qualifies the call. Now, are you called? What are you called to do? Are you holding it back? The litmus test is not experience or expertise. It is availability and teachability. Are you available? Are you teachable? That's what God is looking for. You know, I look at this guy's life, Shamgar. At the end of his life, he's got two sentences in his name in the Bible. What would they write about you in two sentences in the Bible? What would they say about you and your faith for God and your voice and your talent? In two sentences, what would they say about you? You know, I think we got to really reevaluate our walk with God and not let fear stop us. Not let fear drive us away from God. It should drive us towards God. I want to do something great for God because one, God plus one is a majority. My second point here, what we got to remember is to follow Jesus closely. We're looking in Luke here. Luke 22, I'm going to read this. It says, then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. And when some there kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl had seated there in the fire... saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, this man was with him. But he denied it. Woman, I don't know him, he said. A little later, someone saw him and said, you're one of them. Man, I am not, Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, certainly, this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean. Peter replied, man, I don't know what you're talking about. Just as he was speaking, the rooster crows. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crowed today, you would disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. You know, John 18, it says, it was cold, and the servant and official stood at a fire that they had made to keep warm. Peter was also standing with them, warming himself. What went wrong? It says, Peter followed Jesus from a distance. You know, and he starts sitting down by the fire and start warming himself. Oh, it's nice and warm. What is it about warm that we like so much, right? We turn on the shower, we just got to get it right just to be warm. You don't want to get in there. This is what I turn on, I walk away, and then wait until it's warm, then I jump back in, you know? We like warm. We don't want hot. We don't want cold. We like warm because it's comfortable. Feels good. You know, I used to have a car that had seat warmers. That's probably the best invention of all time. Especially this time of the year, you know, you turn on and you sit, and I'm like, oh, that feels so good. It's cold outside, but I'm warm, I'm toasty, and, you know, I feel warm and great. And, you know, the thing about being warm is it's easy, it's comfortable. It takes no risk. You don't have to risk anything when you're just warm. It says Peter followed Jesus from a distance. I guess this morning I want to say, you know, how do you know if you're following Jesus from a distance? How do you know? Okay, let's break it down. You make excuses and rationalization for your sin instead of being convicted and repenting. We start making, you know, excuses. We start rationalizing our sin, being warm, not being radical, not cutting off our arms and gouging our eyes. What Jesus talked about. You know, you will not let anyone get too close to you. You're unwilling to be open. You have many friends, but you don't allow anyone to get too close. It's our attitude, our unwillingness to let people in our life. You know, we need the one another relationships. We need that. We need that. We need that like we need air. We need people to help us. Be open. Let's talk about those things that are on our hearts. You know, we stop reading our Bible and praying. We're living on the fat of yesteryears and others. You know, we read the Bible, but we're not influenced by it. You know, we're not allowing the Word to change us in our everyday walk, in our priorities, the things that we think about, the things that we listen to. The Word does not influence us anymore. You're following Jesus from a distance. You're a dead man walking. You know, you're empty. You're trying to hype everything up, and then you fall down and you're empty. You're a shell of what you used to be. You know, seeking the kingdom. You know, everything takes priority from you seeking the kingdom. We're busy lives. We're busy people. We're extremely busy people. Is seeking the kingdom still your top priority? Seek first the kingdom, he says. Not second, not third. Seek first the kingdom. Serving. Giving. Is it a chore or a duty now? You know, you come, but you are a taker and not a giver. Perhaps we're following Jesus from a distance. You know, we get critical. We get critical about everything. I know I am. I'm fighting that all the time. Am I critical here? Everything that is put out, I'm already like that already. Am I critical? You know, Judas, he says, why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say that because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, a keeper of the money bag. He used to help himself to it, to what was put in it. You know, on the outside, you're like, Judas, you're right. Why weren't this sold and given to the poor? That's a noble thing. But see, Judas had a secret sin. Judas, you know, he was the guy who took care of the money bags, and he helped himself from it. You know, sometimes we can be critical on the outside, like, this we should do this, and we should do that. But what is that secret sin in our life that's driving that? You know, our critical attitude shows we are following Jesus from a distance. You know, because there's a hidden sin inside all of us. you know, we're not part of the solution. We're part of the problem. If you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem, right? Let's be part of the solution. Church is not a spectator sport. You know, church is not a spectator. The church is not the building. The church is you. It's the people. You are the church. So if you are the church, then church should be happening whenever and wherever you're at. Whether you're at work, whether you're at school, whether you're at the ballpark, church should be happening because you are the church. Now, you just can't be warm. Take no risks. Don't want to fail. Don't want to look stupid. Don't want to look dumb. You know, a brother said to me one time, he's like, you know, John, if you don't venture out, you will never gain anything. You need to venture out. Trust God. You know, some of you who are studying the Bible right now, trust God. Let go. Let God take care of you. You know, we cannot follow Jesus from a distance. I remember growing up, I'm up from up north, and it's cold up there. It's a lot of snow. And I remember as a kid, my dad would walk me to school, or to the bus stop, and he would say, you know, you walk behind me, and wherever I step, you need to step in that thing, because the snow is about like this high, you know? And so my dad would go in front of me as he stepped, and you're jumping from, because you're trying to get into the step, and sometimes you miss a step, and you're sliding off to the side, and you know, the snow was blowing. It's blowing sideways, and it's hitting you, and you're slipping and sliding in this thing. And I remember my dad says, "You need to follow me right behind me. Don't get too far behind me. Don't start making your own track. Don't venture off." And you know, God is saying that to us sometimes. You need to follow right behind me. Don't go off and make your own tracks. The snow is going to hit you, and you're going to be lost. You need to follow right behind me and step with my step. I think sometimes we think like, God, I have a better plan. This is a shortcut over here, and I'm venturing off. I'm making my own track, and you get lost. See, we got to follow Jesus closely. You know, we look around today, and we look at churches around us and our friends and our family. You know, I feel like church is now reduced to a nice person telling nice people to be nicer. Are we going to follow Jesus, or are we just going to be nicer? See, I want to follow Jesus. My goal is to be like Jesus. My goal is to follow Jesus right behind him. You know, this cannot be for us if we claim to be disciples of Jesus. We have to follow Jesus closely. You know, we all want to spend eternity with God, but we just don't want to spend time with him. We want to be in heaven, we want to be with God, but we just don't want to spend time with him. Are you spending time with God? You know, our eyes are not fixed on Jesus. They're fixed on our iPhones and iPad. The emphasis in I. And then we wonder why we feel so distant from God. We need to focus on God and let those things not influence us. You know, in Hebrews it says we must fix our eyes on the author and perfecter of our faith. We got to fix our eyes on Jesus. You know, you want to live your life the way you want to, but you expect God to let you in at the very end. It doesn't work that way. It says here in Matthew, it says, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. You know, are you losing your life for him, or are you holding on to your own life? You know, he wants to give you this life. In John 10, it talks about he wants to give you life to the full. He wants to give you life to the full. Here on earth, and then eventually in heaven. He wants to give you this life, this awesome, amazing life to the full. You know, I believe that if we don't follow Jesus closely, we are cheating ourselves from that life. We're cheating ourselves from that life to the full that God wants to give you. Let us follow Jesus closely. You know, finding your voice requires you to walk with Jesus. You know, we can't find our voice when we're on our own. We're reading other things. And, you know, we have so many voices, like I was saying, we have so many voices talking to us. You know, finding that true voice requires us walking with Jesus. We got to remember, God plus one is a majority. Now, where is your faith? What is your ox goal that you want to glorify God with? You know, we got to quit living as if the purpose of life is to arrive safely at death. We got to quit holding out. We got to quit holding back. We can't just journey this life and, you know, hopefully I get to death and it's safe. And then Judges, he says to Gideon, says, go in the strength you have. Am I not sending you? Go in the strength that you have. Whatever you have, go. I'm sending you. God plus one equals the majority. And then two, follow Jesus closely, not from a distance. Keep your eyes on him. Don't let the voices around you drown out God's voice for you. What is God saying to you this morning? What is that thing that God is in your ear talking to you? What is that one thing that you need to change so that it can change your life? You know, we must walk with God daily, remembering and listening to him as we search for our voices and talent. You know, we must not give up until we see Jesus face to face. Our goal is to be like Jesus. You know, I'm so excited because, you know, as we find our voices, as we find the talent that God has given us, that I pray that we will use that talent. We will use that, we will listen to that voice, that we will use that for God's glory. Because it's all about God anyway. It's not about us. It's not how great we are, how smart we are. It's about God. And if we make it about God, everything will be fine. Sometimes we think too much and we think, well, what if this and what if that? If you make it about God, everything will be fine. Don't worry about the results. So as I leave you this morning, I pray that your heart will be stirred, that as you walk out of here, that you want to listen to God's voice and get deeper in your Bible, get deeper in your prayer, and not follow Jesus from a distance, but to be right up close to him. Thank you so much.
With help. Two quick announcements. Today, after service at 12:30, if you plan to be a part of our Christmas program in December, there will be a practice here today and an audition at 12:30, from 12:30 to 1:30 p.m. So please plan to attend. We invite and encourage all to come. I know from the itty-bitties to our more senior. We want everyone to participate in this Christmas program that we will be having in December. Also, keep in mind and keep on your calendars that next week we will also be having our church-wide leaders meeting. So that will be from 2 p.m. until 3 p.m. So please make proper arrangements to attend so everyone can be present. At this time, we're going to go ahead and pray and close out with one final song. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for the communion that we heard from David, God, that has really moved our hearts to help us to remember, God, your mercy and your grace. Father, thank you for the message that you put on John's heart, God, that really spurred us on, God, to do greater things for you, God, to just stay close to you, Father. God, I pray that each and every person here who heard it, God, was motivated and encouraged, God, to stay close to you. Father, we love you so much. We thank you for providing for all of our needs, God, and taking care of our wants as well. We love you. We thank you. We give you.